Be looking at Joshua chapter 1. Last week we began a series in the book of Joshua. We're considering the Joshua generation, and this is a series to help us cross over with strength and courage into the purposes that the Lord has for us. Last week in part 1 we talked about intentionality, and today I want to talk about taking on the mantle of Joshua, taking on the mantle of Joshua. I believe that we need to hear what God is saying to us, just like Joshua was willing to listen and hear what the Lord was saying to him. And then we need to respond by getting ready to cross over into the purposes of the Lord. There's actually preparations that need to be made. And so we want to talk about that today. And again, we're in the second week of our series on the Joshua generation. And to remind you of the why of the series, I believe that the Lord wants us to possess promises, plans, purposes, and prophetic words, which he has given to us through the years. He wants us to step in to new places of fulfillment, new degrees of fulfillment regarding what he has said and done. He wants us to cross over with his strength, to cross over with his courage into new territories, embracing and expressing the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And those new territories are both personal and corporate for our lives. And over the next several weeks, we're going to keep looking at the book of Joshua. We're going to ask God to speak to us from the book to encourage us as we get intentional in our spheres of influence. Because what we're doing is we're wanting to grow in our intentionality to join Jesus on his mission. There's not one sector of society, there's not one neighborhood, there's not one family that is outside the scope of God's love and grace. Amen? God wants to use you and he wants to use me. When I think about like what Amber and Josh did, it was amazing. Their connection with their friends back in Nebraska, they had people sending funds and they were just becoming a conduit of God's blessings, going back and forth to the stores and shopping and distributing resources and then serving and laboring. And that's just one illustration. And many, many of us have been involved, not only with Hurricane Harvey, but in other ways, serving, laboring, demonstrating the love of God to neighbors, to family, to friends, to our communities in new ways. And I believe that this is a new normal for us in our city. The people are very open and responsive. People need to know that God loves. They need to know that God is strong. And you and I get to embody that. And so that's why we're spending times in this series. Not only before this event happened, I felt like the Lord wanted us to look at this together, but especially in light of all that's happened, God wants to give us courage and strength. Be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So last week we looked at what the Lord was saying to us in this season. And again, I believe the Lord is speaking to us about intentionality, to partner with him intentionally. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 says, "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses." So there we see partnership with God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, because it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, verse 13 goes on and says. So the reality is we have a part and God has a part. God won't do our part, we cannot do his part, but we get to partner with him. And he says, every place where your footsteps. I believe God's wanting us to have a big territory, a big mindset. And it's not about us claiming it for ourselves, but it's about the release of the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness means justice and right relationships and restoration and reconciliation. God is after right. He wants to help us to live rightly, to think rightly, to behave rightly, because without his help, we're broken. And we make choices and decisions that hurt us and hurt others. And we see injustice. We see places that need mercy. And God says, my kingdom in the Holy Spirit is full of making things right. Our God is making things right. It's not just in the millennium. We get to partner with him now, working for righteousness, working to help things come into alignment with what's right in terms of how God sees us and justice. And then peace, the word shalom. God wants there to be wholeness, well-being, human flourishing. We look around at the needs, we look around at the brokenness, and you and I get to be instruments of his wholeness. But it also says joy. Wow, we get to celebrate what God's doing. God is active, God is at work, and we get to have an awareness of what he's doing. We get to catch glimpses of it. We get to help people to identify and to see and to acknowledge and to become aware of the God who's active. And our God is the God of joy. He rejoices over us with singing. Jesus is anointed with joy. That was the thing that sets him apart, the scripture teaches us. He's anointed with joy. And you and I get to be a part of a kingdom that's full of joy and celebration in the Holy Spirit. And then the promise is, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So wherever we're going in our spheres of influence, we go with the awareness and the availability to God, who is near, who is with us, who is our strength and our high tower. And so this morning, as we're building on last week, I just pray we'll carry that sense of intentionality with us. If you can think about it, just learning to grow in our capacity to be aware of God, who is active in us. He's active through us. He's active around us, that we might pay attention to him. If you have your Bibles, I told you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. Let's look there together. Joshua chapter 1, and we want to look at verse 6 through 11, and then we'll speak on this. This is the word of the Lord to Joshua and his generation. I believe it's for us. Be strong and courageous, because you'll lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, he told them, and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you'll cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. So here we see an expression, a clear charge that was given to Joshua and his generation. Back in May, I shared with you part of my testimony, a part of the calling that was on my life. The Lord gave me a word back in February the 26th of 1992, and I had an impression that I felt like was from the Lord, take on the mantle of Joshua. And then I shared with you two significant confirmations that came. One was a dream the very next night on the 27th, and then on the 23rd of April, we were having a citywide conference, and we had a prophetic voice that was here. A significant prophet was ministering, and he confirmed this word to me. And when I received the word and I was processing the word, I really believed it had a two-part application. I believed it was not only about my life, but I believed it was about us as a people, as a congregation. In Joshua chapter 1, I was led to read there because I heard that phrase. So I was thinking, what is the mantle of Joshua? And it says in verse 6 very clearly, you will lead these people, the Israelites, to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. So the mantle of Joshua is leadership. It's to lead the people of God to the experiential fulfillment of his promises, which he has made. I believe that God is looking not just for individuals, but he is looking for a generation of people who will take him at his word and possess what he has promised to them. 40 years before, the people of Israel had stood on these very same banks of this Jordan River. That generation had a chance to enter into the promised land. Some of them even went into the land and brought back first fruits as the spies. And they had seen some of what God had promised, but they failed to mix the purposes and promises of God, the word of God that he spoke to them, with faith. So their fear and their unwillingness cost a generation 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And in Joshua's day, a brand new generation was standing there on the banks of the Jordan River. It was their chance to fulfill the word of the Lord. And when I think about the calling on our lives as a people, I believe that I have a part, along with many, many others, in leading out and helping the community of faith in Greater Houston to possess those promises which God has made through prophetic people like Pastor Steve and other key leaders that have been given to us. I believe there's got to be people that walk out what God has shown, what He's foretold, what He's promised. This application, I believe, I took it personally, so I made a commitment back in that day that I was going to be like a Joshua to Pastor Steve, and I was going to learn everything that I could from him, and then I was going to keep networking and serving the Lord's purposes in Greater Houston and in our community here in the Cy-Fair area. And again, I believe that Calvary is called to be a part of leading out, of taking on this mantle of Joshua. God has always placed upon our lives a calling to be a pioneering church. I believe that we're to make a wake. I believe that we're a point away. Our influence, we've had friends tell us, goes way beyond the size of our congregation. I believe that God has a calling. We've seen it through the years as a pioneering church. We've seen it through the years as people who show up and serve and just follow the Lamb wherever He goes. I believe that God is wanting us to continue to live into that pioneering spirit through the days ahead. Calvary, I believe that God is looking for a people who will simply take Him at His word and take possession of that which He has promised to them. God is looking for a people who will take the lead, who will step out, and who will cross whatever Jordan that they face and go in and possess what He says and promises. What are the responsibilities? What are the prerequisites of a people who are going to carry this calling, this mantle of Joshua, this calling to lead? Well, first, I just want to make it clear that to be chosen for leadership is not a position of exaltation. When you read about leadership in the scripture, it's always about servanthood and sacrifice. Israel was called to be God's chosen people, and they thought that that made them the most favored and blessed, and that gave them stature over everybody else. But the Lord kept saying to them, no, it's through you that I want to make my name great. It's through you that I want to reveal who I am and what I do. They missed the point of what God had said to them. They considered themselves to be a people that actually separated them from other people. Rather, God simply, He doesn't want us simply to be a recipient of blessing. He is calling us to be a people who carry the responsibility, the mantle of servanthood and sacrifice, to go where God says go and to do what God says to do. So the prerequisites, what's needed to do what God says, what's needed to do to take steps with Him and go and possess the areas that He's called us to do? Well, it says, first of all, be strong and courageous. I believe we need strength and courage to do what God's calling us to do, because God helps those who will help Him complete what He has started. He's actually called us. I mean, He said to Moses, He said, I'm going to deliver my people from Pharaoh. And then He said, now you go and set them free. So Moses said, yo, I can't do that. And God said, yeah, I'm sending you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be there. But Moses, you've got a part to play. The same thing for the people of the Joshua generation. Our courage and our strength are rooted in what the Lord says, in the promises, in the provision of God. God promises his presence. He speaks to us. So be strong, be courageous. That's a really key part of this journey. So we need to pray for physical strength, and we need to pray for emotional strength, for heart strength, to do what God's asked us to do. And then secondly, in verses 7 and 8, it says, be careful to obey the word of God. Another prerequisite for our journey is to obey the word of the Lord, refusing to be distracted, and then the Bible promises that we'll have success. Listen to verses 7 and 8 again. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws that my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And as we said several times, so many people look at the book that God has given to us, His Word, the Bible, and they look at it as a legal code. It's about morality. It's about what you don't do, and it's about what you do. But I want to tell you that the book that the Lord has given to us is about intimacy with God. It's about knowing God. That is what Moses told the people of God. He told them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, with every fiber of their being. Joshua is told to meditate night and day on the book of the law, not a legal code, not about right and wrong and moral conformity, but it was on the law of love and intimacy with the Lord. And that's the word that the Lord has given to us through our leaders. Through all these years, you think about what Pastor Steve has sowed into us and continues to sow into us, what the Lord opens doors for him to share with his pastor's mentor group and other places as he goes through his writing. It's about intimacy with God. We can experience intimacy with God, and we want to help establish people in that, both here and beyond. God wants us not to just have religion. He wants us to have relationship and experience with the living God. And the Lord is telling us, this has to be foundational for our lives and everything that we do in the days ahead. He is telling us to meditate day and night on His word of intimacy, His word of experiencing God and knowing God, loving God and who He is. And then verse 9 says, do not yield to discouragement. So the requisites are that we need to be strong and courageous to obey what God is saying through His word, His revealed word, and all the different ways that He speaks to us. And then do not yield to fear or discouragement, for God has promised His presence to us. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, in Scripture, when God repeats Himself, there's a reason. Three times in this passage, He tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then He says, be very courageous. And then He says here again, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? Why would God say that? It's not only a warning, but it's our nature, right? Our nature is to grow weary in well-doing. Our nature is to run in our own strength. When in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18 and other passages, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Stand in the strength of the Lord. All through Scripture, it says, with me, you can do anything. Apart from me, you can do no thing. So Joshua, I think, here he is, he's watched Moses, and it's actually not encouraging. If you read at the end of chapter 1, when God has given this word, and He talks about the different tribes that are staying on the eastern side of the Jordan, and says, now remember, you made your commitment to come and help us to take the promised land. He's speaking to them, getting them ready. And then the words that they speak, I think, are meant to be an encouragement, but they're not encouraging to me. They say, As we obeyed Moses, we're going to obey you. How well did they obey Moses? I mean, when you read that, you want to say, can I have another response? Can I have another commitment here? You know? So, I mean, you're going, we're all broken people, amen? And we're prone to fear, and we're prone to getting discouragement. Calvary, I think in the days ahead, I think the enemy's going to wield those weapons of fear, those weapons of discouragement, because he wants to rob us of how God sees us, of how God wants to use us, and he wants to rob others of the blessing of what he wants to do in and through us to touch them with his presence, with his power, with his love. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to run out of energy when we're doing it on our own. So three times in this passage, right here, verses 6 through 9, the Lord repeats himself, not just to take up words on a page, but because he speaks to a people when we're going to step out and we're going to make a commitment to be intentional, to partner with him, to join him. He recognizes that we're going to need his strength and his courage to pull it off. So, have I not commanded you? In other words, have I not spoken to you? So God's presence and his present word, that's what engenders faith. The Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So this passage teaches us that we can have strength and courage because God will fulfill his promises that he's made to those who came before us, the promises that he's made through time and history. God will bless those who are consumed with the law of love and intimacy with him. And God will provide his presence, not just his provisions to us wherever we go. And as you read the story of Joshua, that includes places of victory like Jericho or places of defeat like Ai. God is with us. God promises. So here are some points of application that I believe God wants us to catch. So look back at Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. I think the first application is to get ready to cross over the Jordan or cross over whatever it is that we need to do to take the land which God wants to give us. Settle for nothing less than possessing the whole territory according to the definition that the Lord gives to us. So what is that territory? Verse 3 again, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. Our borders, our spheres of influence, those are our borders. In other words, every place where God calls us to go and partner with him in the workplace, the school place, the neighborhood place, the marketplace, in the legal place, in the entertainment place, the sectors of society. And then another application, not only get ready, but get the supplies ready. Look at verses 10 and 11. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving to you for your own. What are supplies? Supplies are the things that we'll need in order to make the journey. What are the supplies that we will need for this journey that God's called us to? We need physical strength and heart strength. We've talked about that over and over. I ask you in these days to pray for yourself, to pray for one another, to pray for believers in this city that God will give us physical strength, physical energy, and God will give us heart strength or courage, boldness for what he's called us to do in these days. You see, many people whose love is growing cold and their affections are waning, they're getting bored, their expectation level. Hey, let me speak about expectation. I pray that you're so engaged with the Lord that wherever you go, whatever you do, you have that practicing the presence of the Lord, that gift of awareness, recognizing that your God is here. And I pray that you carry a heightened sense of expectation every time we get together, because the Lord not only wants us to encounter him, but I believe he wants to encounter us. And we live at our level of expectation. We see that in schools. They do studies all the time where if you take a teacher and you tell them, okay, this student or this class, these are the slower learners and these are the better learners, no matter what their grades are, you can actually flip it. And the ones that excel and do great in school, if you label them a certain way, then we just naturally relate to them that way. And you see that in business. You see that in everything in life. And so if our expectation is low, oh, I'm just going to church today, just going to church. Well, that's not why we go to church. Amen? We come to church to worship God together. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 that there are depths of his nature and his love that we can only experience together. Otherwise, we would just be isolated individuals just off doing our thing all the time. But God says you need each other, and there are dimensions of Christ that are revealed who he is in the corporate nature that cannot be known just in your individual nature alone. We need the body of Christ to reveal the multifaceted beauty of Christ. Oh, when we come, what's your expectation? I want to challenge us. Have an expectation. Pastor Steve started a message series a while back on the more of God. I believe that we need to have an anticipatory heart that says, God is up to something, and I want to sow into it with my prayers, with my worship. I want to be a part of that. And in Acts chapter 4, they had gathered together, and they, right in the middle of all the persecution, they asked God, God, would you pour out your boldness upon us and help us to share, and would you do signs and wonders to the glory of Jesus? And then in that prayer meeting, the Bible says the place where they were meeting was shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what prayer meeting it might be that we're attending or what service or what event, but God shows up and does things. It's not the natural, it's not the normal in the sense of those manifest, his manifest presence, but wow, I just have an expectation every time we get together. God, what are you going to do today? And also, because of that gift of awareness, that present awareness, I know he's here and I know he's ministering and moving, even when it's not manifest, but God is here because he promised it and he's at work, like this morning. Are we aware? Are we able to bless and sow into it? That was a sidebar. I really wanted to get into that expectation. I want to heighten that. Man, get here. Come here. Get here before 10 o'clock so you can do your greeting and you can welcome one another so that you can be a section captain in this room and take on responsibility for that area to pray for one another, encourage one another, and then to welcome the presence of the Lord in this place together. We need physical strength and heart strength, supplies of food and water. We think of the Word of God. We feed on the Word of God. The Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5 is water to us. We need our weapons like love, prayer, faith, like forgiveness, like community, like anointing. There's so many weapons. Supplies. You need to get the supplies ready. And what we especially need in this hour, I believe, is to knock on heaven's door for a sovereign move of God. Personal and corporate intercession are critical to any move of God. And the prayer room at Calvary, I believe, is critical to what God is calling us to do in the days ahead. We need to win the air war. We need to win in the place of prayer in our personal prayer closets and in our corporate prayer closets. We want to win the air war by filling the bowls of incense with intercession. When those bowls are filled, the scripture says in Revelation chapter 8 that God will add fire from the altar and cast it down upon the earth in order to fulfill his purpose is to shake the heavens and the earth. Calvary, we need to pray. I believe in this season, we need to fill the bowls. We need to pray like never before. We have been a praying church. We are a praying church. And I believe there are depths of prayer that we need to plumb together, both privately and corporately. And I want to call us to that place. And I believe with all my heart that the prayer room is a part, an important part of that assignment. We need to pray, asking the Lord to back up our words with the power of God, with the presence of God, and with the deep conviction of the words of Jesus. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Acts chapter 4, I just mentioned, they prayed and said, oh God, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the broken culture, in spite of the adversaries, in spite of the whatever obstacles we face, like our Jordan rivers, oh God, we pray, give us boldness and extend your hand to do signs and wonders to the glory of your Son, Jesus. We just finished another part of our preparations. You'll remember back to September the 1st through the 30th. We had a season of fasting and prayer. That is a season of preparation. We believe the Lord wanted us to come together as a people to consecrate ourselves to him for what lies ahead, like they did in the days of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, it said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord your God will do amazing things among you. We wanted to fast and pray, to seek the Lord together corporately. We wanted to fast and to pray, to soften our hearts before the Lord. See, that's one of the gifts that happens when you practice the discipline of fasting, is it softens our hearts. We wanted to soften our hearts before the Lord as we repent corporately and individually. We wanted to fast and pray to gain strength for the next steps we're going to make together with the Lord. And we wanted to fast and pray for breakthrough. So I don't know what Jordan River you're facing. The Jordan River, what was it? Well, it was at flood stage. It's a place of fear. It's an obstacle. It's insurmountable wall. And the Jordan River is a starting point. I don't know what you're facing, but let's face it together and let's cross together and let's watch the Lord do amazing things in our midst. Years ago, Pastor Steve said, it's okay to be afraid to cross the Jordan River, but it's not acceptable to stay on the wrong side. Amen? Back to what we talked about last week. What can we do in this season? And I mentioned increased prayer. I talked about three prayers to pray. One is to pray and prayer walk in our neighborhoods. I want to invite you to pray Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the people and all who are in it belong to him. And then verses 7 goes on to say, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. We want a prayer walk. We want to stand in the gap. We want to be a connection point between heaven and earth, praying in and saying, Lord Jesus, we welcome you to our neighborhood. We welcome you to these homes. We want to be paying attention and asking God for divine appointments where we can ask people, how can I pray for you? We want to stand in the gap and pray. And then I talked about praying as you go, praying for appointments to connect with people as you're at work, as you're at school, as you're in the marketplace and other places, as you're in the sports activities with the children. Ask God, say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here and in the lives around me as they are in heaven. And then keeping our awareness, keeping our hearts attuned, keeping our lives available. Again, with the question ready to ask people, how can I pray for you? Standing in the gap and being positioned there. And then I mentioned praying, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, praying that everywhere you go, everywhere you drive, Lord, you said your kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I welcome you. Would you come and help set things right in my neighborhood between family members, between parents and children, children and parents, between communities, between races, between the generations? Lord, would you come and bring justice? Would you come and bring mercy? Would you come and bring grace in our lives? And again, that wholeness. Lord, would you release flourishing and grace? Would you help us to rebuild? Would you send the resources that we need? Would you send the experts that are needed? Would you send the answers to prayer that our community would flourish, would be whole and healthy in the Lord, both those who have a lot and those who have a little? And Lord, would you release the joy of your kingdom, the Holy Spirit here? Would you come and help us to celebrate what you're doing all around us? Calvary, those prayers were not just meant for last week. I want to call us in this season to lift up those three prayers, both individually and corporately. Let's just remind the Lord. Amen? Let's knock on his door and let's seek him together. Well, this morning as I was praying for us, I was actually very surprised. I had a particular ministry that I wanted to do, and then the Lord began to speak to me from Psalm 62. Would you turn there? And this is how we're going to close today. Psalm chapter 62, verses 11 and 12. I pray that you, the God who is strong and loving, will touch the people here today, Lord. That's what we're asking today. Meet us right where we are and touch us in our place of need. So what does God say here through the psalmist? One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard. That you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Calvary, I'm praying this morning, and we're going to pray for one another in just a minute. We're going to pray that God will show himself strong and show himself loving as we pray for one another. May God show himself strong for those who need him today. Let's pray and ask God to show himself strong for those who need him today. Those who need healing, those who are sick and the infirmed. May he show himself strong for those who need jobs. May he show himself strong for those needing answers, wisdom, and breakthroughs. May he show himself strong for those needing deliverance, for those needing grace, for those needing mercy, for those needing encouragement and hope. We're going to pray for one another, and I believe the God who said, this is who I am. David said, I heard you're strong and you're loving. Secondly, loving. May the Lord touch people with the power of his love this morning, that we may feel the love of God. I pray that we'll actually experience a taste of the love of God. I believe God wants to nurture some of us, just hold us, wants to envelop us in his love, heal our hearts with his love, transform us by the power of his love, launch into new assignments by the wooing and the invitation of his love, conquer our waywardness and brokenness by his loving kindness. I believe God's here this morning, and he wants us to pray, and he wants us to release the love of God, and he wants us to release the strength of God. God's here to be strong. So here's what we want to do. Let's stand. So I just mentioned some applications of places where you might need today to experience the strength of the Lord. Maybe you need healing, you need a job, you need answers and breakthrough, you need grace, deliverance, mercy, encouragement, or hope. I believe God wants to come and touch those that need His strength, and we're going to actually lay hands on one another and ask for an impartation of that strength.